need to be 2 hours and 15 or 2 hours and 20 minutes, but they have the clock, or they have so many fouls now. And generally, when you get to these college, these points of emphasis, you get out of that when you get into the college season, or the what am I trying to say, the conference season. But Keith, they've carried it right over. I mean, we're seeing some really long games.
Well, yeah. I mean, bottom line is, Tony, you know, I watch a lot of the NBA. There have been college games this year that, by the nature of them being close at the end of the game, means everybody uses all their timeouts and it's a foul fest at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, there are regular season, regulation time college games going as long as a 48-minute NBA game.
And it just doesn't...
And that's just no good.
No.
That's no good.
No, because your product's not very good to begin with. So what that's telling me is you're taking a product that's already not very good and you're making it less compelling by shooting 65 foul shots.
Well, think about something else, Tony, a lot of times. I mean, today... Now, granted, it was a great the Iowa State Kansas game was a great game,
great
so it
game.
Wasn't a problem. But it runs over. I mean, most times there are plenty of nights where I'm turning on the 9 o'clock ESPN game, and some 20-point garbage blowout is rolling over for 5 or 10 minutes into the game I want to watch.
I totally
that's
agree
no
with
good.
That. No, that's no good for anybody. The other night, we were playing the 9 o'clock game here against Kentucky. They ended up not tipping that thing until 9:12 because there was a blowout game that was on the other on the network before them.
Well, it was West Virginia, Kansas.
That's your point. And it was a game
total that was over
blowout.
With, a game that was over with 10 minutes to go.
And that's your point. Because now you're sitting in Thompson Bowling for 13 minutes, and what, you know, come on. It's absurd.
When you're tipping off at 9 o'clock.
Well, it's absurd. Keith, give me a final thought here on the way out. Thank you for your time.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, they got the split on the road that we discussed. They're 13-10. Come home, get some redemption against Ole Miss. Be ready to go next Saturday against the Georgia team. That, I mean, the one thing about a senior-laden team is, I don't know who their midweek game is. It's probably best for Tennessee if Georgia goes ahead and loses that one, because maybe with a senior-laden team, they get to the point where they realize that it's win the SEC tournament or bust. Maybe they throw in the towel for a while.
Mm. Thank you, brother. Good talking to you.
Okay. See you, Tom.
It's always compelling. Why am I partial to college sports over professional sports? Because college sports are about heart. And they're about seeing young people grow up right before your very eyes. And we've seen this Tennessee basketball team grow up. Now the question is, are we going to see them take the next step? This week is a real opportunity for this basketball team to take the next step. But I echo what Tony Jones said. We got the split here. If you're thinking NCAA tournament, you got to think two this week. But you can only play them 4 minutes at a time. Tonight's game totally took their eye off the ball down the stretch. Had an absolutely golden opportunity to get a 2-0 sweep on the week, push that streak from out to 5 out of the last 6, get mentioned among some of the hottest teams in college basketball, and let it slip through their hands. But, we're going to get there. I think this team's been a lot of fun. I'm not going to beat on them after today. There's no need in doing that. One other thing on the way out. Atlanta Falcons got to do this thing tomorrow. They've got to do this thing for America. Chicago Cubs win the World Series, beating the Cleveland Indians, which meant something had to give there. The Cleveland Cavaliers win it all. The Atlanta Falcons haven't been able to walk and chew gum. And every time they get in the postseason, they've, outside of the Dirty Birds year, they gagged. They've got a real opportunity tomorrow to win the Super Bowl. We need to do it. We need to do it. When I say we, I mean we. I'm talking about Clemson against Alabama, we. Because the New England Patriots are run by a humorless, homeless-looking, I can't even think of the words I'm trying to say. I'm all It's the season we're in. The Dirty Birds got to do it. They got to do it for my boy D Light. And I'm going to feel so great for the for my friends in this community like Stuart Blackstock, longtime season ticket holder of the Falcons, and the D-Wayne Lights of the world, and people I know that are long-standing Falcon fans. I can only imagine what it's like to drink from the chalice, because the truth is, there's my baseball team and my football team, the Eagles. As long as Howie Roseman is in their organization, they're going to have suckitude from here to eternity. They're going to suck forever. The same will not be said about our Volunteers in basketball. The future is bright, though tonight was a setback, and it didn't have to happen. Till we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, thank you, Marcos Garza, your Garza Law Firm. Thank you to our friends at Smartway. By the way, online at garzalaw.com. And thanks for bearing with me today. Sorry we couldn't go longer. Appreciate you. Hope you have a great day. And be blessed. And go Volunteers, go. Well, that was fun. Yeah, I'm gonna need a hand, buddy. Thanks for coming down. I'm gonna need you to help me get out of the space here.
Alright, I'll pull this computer up, yes?
Yeah, you can pull the computer up.
On this chair, is that good?
That's cool, yeah. You gonna give me a. We gonna walk around outside? I can barely. Yeah, grab that bottle. I can barely walk. Give me a second. I'm gonna load this show up and put it up here.
Okay.
So it's playing. Yeah, do that. Thanks for coming to get me, buddy. No, today's two. Go ahead and put that computer in there too. Oh, you know what? You just reminded me of something. I have to get the Stover's commercial that I recorded. Let's see here. Did I save that in the 2016 file? I might have. What's today's date? Somebody help me. Is today 2/4? It is, isn't it? Well. Yeah. Well, that's crazy. Tell you what, taking this. I don't know how people live on this medication. I don't know how people do that. I absolutely hate it. I would not be a good junkie. I know that. I have been binge watching some stuff, though. I've been binge watching bunch of JFK assassination stuff. And I've been binge watching a bunch of wrestling. That makes me laugh. Okay, let's see here. I don't want that. I want to bring... Check this out, Ant. Find computer here. Look how cool this is. I take this show here from today, drag it over there, hit go.
Dagger 3. And Florida was never headed.
What is this? Why is that under 2-4?
You mentioned it. Defensively.
No, that's wrong.
We just didn't show up in the second half. They go 7-for-7 from three.
What is playing there?
The second half.
What in the world was that? Let's see if this is it. There we go. Hey, you all have a great day. I love you.
Big Orange fans, you watched every minute. You showed your orange. But you're just getting started. Because it's time for the best post-game fan show in college basketball. It's time for the Smart Way Garza Law Firm Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The place where the Big Orange Universe from all around the world gathers to talk about tonight's game. Unfiltered, uncensored, and wholeheartedly unapologetic. Get on the line with us right now. 865-200-5402. That's 865-200-5402. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony Basilio. Now, here's your host of the Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The man who's been keeping it real for Vol fans for almost a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tony Basilio.
Basketball talk! Got a basketball talk! Got a basketball talk, so baby, victim of a basketball tones. Ever since I was a little baby, I always be dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball.
That was a complete kick right in the balls.
And I love that.
That's what that was.
I took that basketball with me everywhere.
I mean, geez Louise.
Basketball was like a basketball tone.
You're up nothing. You're up 19 points. You got to finish that thing. You got to finish that game.
Maybe that's why I can't sleep at night.
You're up 19 points on that team. You have seriously. You have seriously got to finish that game. Tony Basilio welcoming you to another edition of your Smart Way Garza Law Firm Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Place where we talk about it like real fans. Wow. Those of you enjoying me on Periscope today, apologize for my peaky condition. I don't even think I'm 50% at this point. My wife begged me, don't do this show today. And I told her, I said, I got to answer the bell. Because that's what we do around here. Myself and Hatfield. Proud to be alongside. We'll take some calls. T. Jones going to join here momentarily. That was a shockingly bad second half by the Volunteers. Let's put it in perspective. Weatherspoon and Peters finished today's game with a combined 11 points. At one point, Weatherspoon was 0 of 10 from the field. He finishes 3 of 18. He's 0 for 5 from three-point land, 1 of 6 from the foul line, and they still win the game. How in the hell, Keith Hatfield, did that just happen? How did that just happen?
Well, I mean, what? Tennessee managed to match their futility from the foul line and couldn't rebound the basketball and just completely. I mean, for the first time since the last time they were in the state of Mississippi, they looked like a bunch of freshmen the last 5 minutes.
They really did. And one of the reasons why both of us, we have talked privately, one of the reasons why both of us were not ready to proclaim this team heading to the NCAA tournament because they just, well, you just said it off the air. Say what you just said off the air on the air because it makes sense.
Well, I mean, they're just, I mean, they've got this in them. They're not, you're going to have some of these in. And the bottom line is, we buried them after the game against Ole Miss, and this is what happened the next four games.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is essentially a replay of that road trip. You go to Vanderbilt and play great and win. They played great. They played really well at Auburn Tuesday night.
Yep.
And then you dominate a game for 25 minutes the next time out.
And your line to me was, look, there are a lot of good teams in the country. And Tennessee's one of them, but they're not great.
They're not great. There's nothing great. There's nothing that puts them above. I mean, you could throw after probably the top 15 teams in the country this year, Tony. You could throw 16 through 150 in a hat, and there's not a hell of a lot of difference in them.
Totally agree with that.
And I mean, there's just not.
No, so and this game's not worth. It's not worth overreacting to. I mean, some people are saying it's the season. I don't think that. Some people are saying it's going to cost Tennessee an NCAA tournament appearance. I don't think that. I still think that's to be determined. Tennessee's
well,
got
opportunities here.
That's the problem, and
that's why I've not said anything about making NCAA tournament. It's the same thing happened Konzo's first year.
Yep.
In a vacuum, that was a great year.
Yep.
Considering the personnel they had and everything. But everybody got all juiced up about the run when they made the run. Oh my God, we're going to make the NCAA tournament. It's going to be great. And then when they didn't, everybody acted like that season was some kind of grand failure when it wasn't.
Couldn't agree more.
I mean, you have to look at it in context. I mean, today's been one of those days in college basketball. The number five team in the country that's hotter than anybody was down 71-36 the last time I looked.
That Kansas State team that we saw last week couldn't play dead.
Went
to Baylor and won.
Kansas lost at home today.
Kansas lost at home. Exactly. I mean, it's just crazy. And you ride the wave. Here's what I appreciate. I appreciate the effort of this basketball team. I thought they had a solid effort today. If you want to pinpoint where the game unfolded and came apart, it was when Lamonte Turner was at point guard and he had two turnovers on back-to-back plays and it drew Mississippi State closer than they'd been all day and it gave them life and it gave them energy. And Keith, the bottom line is, if Lamonte Turner's on the floor and the other coach is not forcing him to behave quicker and play quicker with the basketball than he wants to, then they're just not watching film. Cause that's how you beat us. I mean, that's how you beat Tennessee. Period. End of sentence. I'm not going to pin it all on him because certainly another thing that happened down the stretch, and you see this, is when Tennessee's shots all of a sudden weren't falling and they haven't succumbed to this much this year, Keith. But all of a sudden, when they had that tough stretch, they let it convert over to defense, and they gave Mississippi State a couple power play opportunities, and you just can't do that. We're just not good enough to do that. We're not good enough to overcome that.
No, I mean, this team can't give away possessions. They've got to be engaged pretty much every possession to beat anybody of any quality. And, I mean, let's remember, this is a team picked to finish 13th in the SEC.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I thought that was a little bit ludicrous to start with. I mean, I certainly didn't think this team was that bad, but they're not the team we've seen the previous four games either.
Let's go.
They're somewhere in the middle. This is a team that, if they play out, there's what now? Eight left. Two that I think you have next to no shot to win.
Agreed.
Even though from what I saw South Carolina, I mean, that's the one thing about South Carolina. They do a pretty good job of keeping lesser opponents in games, but I don't see Tennessee winning there. And my guess is we'll take a Valentine's Day thrashing up in Lexington.
Yes.
But of the other six, I mean, you tell me how many of those Tennessee can't win.
Yeah, I agree with you. Anything can
happen. I'll probably be on after that game with everybody making fun of me, but outside of Missouri, name one of those games they can't lose.
I totally agree with that. You took the words right out of my mouth. The Vanderbilt game here is losable.
Because
you've got that same thing in play that you had today, which is you got to beat an opponent twice, and I'm just not sure if we're good enough to sweep anybody, quite frankly. And then you've got, and then you also have the Georgia game here, which scares me because Georgia's kind of like we were coming into that last stretch of games we had.
Georgia has the worst luck in the league.
No question. They've deserved to win a couple of these games on the road. We're going to go to the phones and get as many people in here as
possible. And I'll tell you, Tony, I thought one of the worst things that happened to Tennessee today was jumping out so big early.
Yep.
Because I think even if it's subconscious, if you've already beaten the hell out of a team once,
yep,
and you jump all over them the second time,
yep,
I mean, it's hard. It's hard not to think, okay, these, like, we've got these guys' numbers.
You couldn't have convinced me when I looked up at Weatherspoon's numbers, and I'm tracking that thing as the game goes along, and he's 0-10. And I'm thinking to myself, there is no way in hell Mississippi State's winning this game today. But I guess that's what makes it interesting. You know, you just don't know. You just don't know.
Well, the frustrating thing is, and probably the most frustrating threat play to me, is the very end of the game, because, I mean, physical mistakes are going to happen.
Right.
And with a young team, you're going to have some mental mistakes.
Right.
But how do you let Schneider Harrard rebound the ball three times without just tackling him at one point and making him earn those two at the free throw line?
To the phones we go. He tapped it to himself three times. That's exactly what he did.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, just knock him on his butt and make him go make two at the line.
Here are the numbers that stand out for why Tennessee couldn't get out of there with a win. I don't care who you're playing on the road. I don't care if you're playing at Missouri. You're going to have trouble beating somebody when you go 10 of 22 from the foul line. You get to the foul line 22 times on the road, you got to make 15 or 16 of those. You cannot go 10 for 22. Conversely, you can't turn the ball over four times, and you can't have a stretch of where Lamonte Turner turns it over three out of four possessions. That's just not going to get it done. I mean, that's begging somebody to get back in a game. That's just saying,
Mississippi State's not a pressing team.
That's right.
Mississippi State's not bad defensively,
right,
but they're a half-court defensive team. They should not be. They're a containment defensive team. They should not be turning you over.
You shoot foul shots, you get out of there with a win. As it is, a lot of the things that Tennessee was doing well, in the statistics, when you look at the numbers, second chance points. Tennessee was outscored today 19-6 in second chance points. Keith, in that four-game winning streak, they owned that stat. I'll give you another one. Bench scoring. That's another stat Tennessee owned in that winning streak. Today they were outscored 20-19. They just didn't get a tremendous help off their bench. And another guy today who did his weird, strange deal, it came back again, is Robert Hubbs III. He had 4 points, rather. He goes 2-7 from the field. Keith, he barely touched the basketball down the stretch. He did that thing he does where he's out there and he doesn't call for the ball. And I'm sorry, you got to get something intermediate to him. I mean, you got to call something. You got to slow that game down a little bit. But
Tennessee's not beating much of anybody on a night he scores four.
No. But Mississippi State fans will tell you, if our two best players, Peters and Weatherspoon, combine for 11.
Well, yeah.
And in that 11, Keith, they shoot 4 for 26.
Oh, yeah. And their free throw shooting was every bit as sorry as ours.
And they won the game.
Yeah. They're at home. I mean, generally, if you have a slop fest like was played today, the home team usually wins by default.
I don't know how much of this I can do today. I've got 3 different types of painkillers in me right now. I'm having terrible back problems. I've never experienced this in my life. Not that you care, but let's go to the phones. I'll do this as long as I can. On your Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony, it's Bedford here.
Hey, buddy.
I need some of those painkillers that you got now.
Man, I'm telling you.
Dude, this is just a pathetic performance by the Vols. I think they go and they play to their competition, as they've always done, and they've gone through and it just completely ruined the fan base's hope, I believe. I mean, I'd rather take a bath with my dad than to watch that second half again.
Keith had a pretty good point about the fact that they got up so big, because you could tell that they almost relaxed in the second half. I mean, I'm sure they're not going to admit that, but Keith, it did look like there was a little relaxing by the Vols in the second half.
Well, no, I mean, it's like boxing. If you beat a guy's eyes shut for 11 rounds, it's hard to stay. It's almost automatically hard to stay focused for the 12.
Yep.
I mean, I completely agree with Keith. It's something that when you get fired up in that first half, I mean, we started off phenomenal, and then they just sit there and you get relaxed, and you think you've got it, and you get complacent, and you just forget that you're playing ball against a team that will take every advantage against you that you can give them. And it's horrible, and I don't know how we're going to go forward from this. I agree with Keith and you, Tony. I think we still have a shot at the tournament. I know
Sure.
a lot of people are saying no shot at all.
It's not true.
But, I mean, we just have got to perform against Ole Miss and Georgia. And just I'd like to hear what you think about how we get the team back fired up and go into these next few SEC games. So I'll hang up and listen.
What do you think? What do you do, Keith, if you're running the show over there? How do you handle this thing today?
I go back and I do whatever I did after the Ole Miss game because, I mean, this was essentially a mirror image of that game. And when we all thought they were dead in the water after that, they came out and played the four best games they've played all year.
865-200.
I just think that's the nature. I don't think it's an excuse as much as it's an explanation. I mean, the roster is what it is and is in the situation it is for a reason. You've got to play the hand you're dealt. But there are going to be nights like this, again, I know I keep bringing this up, but it's just for comparison's sake because it's a guy in a job that Barnes used to have. How's Shaka Smart and all those five-star freshmen doing at Texas?
It's 38 possessions the Vols had today in the second half, and they had 12 scorers out of it.
And that's too many. That tells me you're playing too fast with the lead they had. There's no reason when you have the lead they have that there are 38 possessions and a half.
And even at that, the Vols still led in the second half, 14 minutes, 22 seconds. And only trailed in the game 4 minutes and 22 seconds and still lost the basketball game. There were a lot of things that Tennessee did right today. Some things they did wrong, and the things they did wrong inevitably, and I'm shocked by this. I'm as shocked as anybody. Inevitably cost the Vols this game. Tennessee gets that win. We are all of a sudden saying, we're not even thinking about the NCAA tournament. I'm thinking about what kind of seed are we going to be. I'm thinking about...
Look at this way.
Go ahead.
I think if they get the rebound when it's 60-59, they probably win the game.
No doubt. And that's the ball tapped three times and...
Yeah. I mean, at some point, I know it sounds like I come on here to do nothing but hide strap Lamonte Turner, but at some point you just got to grab him. And Lamonte has proven he's not the highest basketball IQ player ever to pass through over there. But Grant Williams is standing down there at 1.2 and doesn't do it either. So.
No. And Grant Williams, Pat Bradley does not say many things that make sense to me. But he did say something about Grant Williams' IQ today and the way that he's doing little things on that court that freshmen ought not to be able to not be doing. And there you go. Let's go to the phone.
But I tell you, but as far as the way Tennessee played all day,
yeah,
I think the first possessions and omens, we get the ball to him right where he's been great. The whole run they've been on, he misses a two-footer.
To the phones we go. Yeah,
not that it's his fault, but I just think that kind of is indicative of the way the day ended up going.
It was how the game was going to go. It's absolutely true. We'll go to the phones. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. On a day where Tennessee somehow found a way to lose, which is just a shocking, crazy, crazy, crazy loss for the Vols. And if you're not careful in a game like this, it will sting you. It will absolutely sting you. Tennessee came out, first 10 shots of the game, made 4 of the first 10. And then Mississippi State was 1 for 10. Mississippi State, before the first TV timeout, was down double digits. They were buried in that basketball game. And they somehow got off the deck. We took a 19-point lead in the second half, and they still got off the deck and won. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. Let's go to the phones, get our next call in. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello and welcome.
Hello, Tony.
Yes.
Hey, TNT here, man. Praying for you back, brother.
Hey, thank you, brother.
I think Keith hit it right on the head at the beginning of the show. I think this is just one of those things. And Keith, I ask you this: can we put this? First of all, I'm all in on Rick Barnes, and I'm enjoying this basketball season. Will we make the NCAA tournament or not? I mean, the TV show even said we're the second youngest team in the nation. Is this just one of those things, youth, Keith? And it just has to be a learning experience.
Well, yeah, I mean, everything, every game they play this year is going to be that way. And one thing you saw is something that, Tony and I have discussed on since we started doing these post-game shows. One thing you saw tonight is everybody a lot of times gets it backwards. You don't keep a lead with your defense. You keep a lead with your offense.
Yep.
And Tennessee's offense went completely dead because if you're scoring at any kind of remotely efficient pace in the second half, they can't catch you.
Right.
You know what we did?
Well,
guys,
that's what happened.
Last 20 shots, Tom. How many do you think Tennessee made of their final 20 shots today?
Six.
Made five. They're going to beat
and
everybody.
And they made two of the last, well, and they made two in a row.
Mm. And that's another thing, and I'll jump off there. Another thing is, I just think Mississippi State shooting his baskets came to them. I think the game came to them.
Yeah.
Where Tennessee just threw those away. But there again, guys, you know, anything we do right now is gravy. It's a learning experience, and I think we have a lot to be excited about Tennessee basketball hoops-wise.
Oh, I agree
with
that.
Hey, let me say.
Thank you, brother. I'm not going to – I don't blame this thing on coaching either. I mean, this is college basketball. The nature of this thing, night in and night out, is, as Keith said, there's a cream of the crop in college hoops this year, and then there's everybody else. And Tennessee's
in
everybody else.
And a couple of them got beat. And a couple of them got beat at home today by mediocre teams.
Let's get our next call in 865-200-5402. Welcome in.
Hey, Tony. How you guys doing?
Hey, buddy. And by the way, can I say this? A line available at 865-200-5402 should you care to join us. And I'll stay on as long as we're getting phone calls.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
Man, last UT sporting event, I'm going to have a chance to watch my son tonight. You know, he's headed to the Marines tomorrow.
Mm.
And, you know, you've heard Beano speak time and time again about keep that cup on because you're getting ready to get a swift kick in the nuts. And what better way to send a kid off to the Marines than just kick him right in the nuts like we did tonight?
You're not going to do that tomorrow, are you? When you walk the aisle with him?
I'm not walking out. I'm gonna take him down there and sign him in. They put him up at the Crown Plaza tomorrow night, and I'm gonna smuggle him out. We're gonna come home and watch the Super Bowl, and I'm gonna smuggle him back in.
There you go. It's a great way to start his military career, smuggling him out.
Hey, Tony, he wants to watch the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Hey, I figure they own him Monday morning at 4:45 a.m. let's smuggle him out and watch the Super Bowl together.
There you go.
Hey, he's a Patriots hater. he's pulling for the Dirty Birds. But Tony, that game tonight, and I kept telling him, I said, son, they're gonna make a run. I said, his game's not over. But I can't believe we blew that damn game.
No, that was that was about as bad as it possibly can get.
And Tony, if we win that game, I don't think there's any way we don't make the NCAA tournament. Now we're going to come down to the last game of the season, and we're going to have to beat Alabama.
There's no question. That's how the script's played out around here. And by the way, what happened to Konzo Martin that year that Keith was talking about that reminds me of this year? You know who we had to get beat to get in that day?
Alabama.
You know what we did in the NCAA tournament? We look like we could care less, or the SEC tournament, I should say.
Yeah, but I live and die with this Tennessee basketball. I mean, I've given up on Tennessee football. Butchie Boy, he's done. You can stick a fork in him. Barnes, I think weekend that Barnes can get it done, but God, we got to quit blowing his second half lead.
That's two games in Mississippi that are absolutely, they defy logic, and they're completely painful. And those are the two most painful results of the year, and it's not even close.
And Tony, we've got to win these two home games this week.
No doubt. But I'm with Keith. I wouldn't bet on either game. I mean, I do think they're winnable. I think Tennessee should win them, but it would not surprise me if Tennessee loses either game. Even the Ole Miss game wouldn't totally shock me.
And Georgia's looking good right now.
Georgia's where we were 2 weeks ago. They just don't have a win to show for themselves, a quality win. They've played everybody off their feet.
Hey, when you go to Rupp Arena and lose by a couple of points, you know you're out there on the cusp. But now these two games this week are definitely both must games.
Yeah,
we got to go down there and beat Johnny Jones, which should be an easy task. But
yes,
you never know. Tony.
No, not in college ball. You don't know.
But,
thank you, brother. Hey, when we had Wade Houston, Arkansas couldn't beat us, and good luck to you and your son. college basketball is a crazy game. People are asking on Periscope, Keith, and also on Twitter, your thoughts on Tennessee's latest commitment.
Oh, I think he feels a definite need. I mean, that's a big body rebounder, defender type, and I think that's exactly what Tennessee needed to add. I think Derek Walker, I think he fits in perfectly, and he's got an extra year. He's going to prep school, so he's kind of a Jordan Bowden situation that he's going to be physically ready from the time he shows up. I think that gets you a little deeper in that post rotation to where Kyle Alexander, who again showed some flashes today, you get him, Schofield, Walker, and Williams. I mean, that's not optimal size because Grant and Admiral are obviously, they're not all of a sudden going to be 6'8", but that's four serviceable players in there. And I think with Tennessee's perimeter players, that's plenty good enough.
How
but
bad?
One thing,
go ahead.
But one thing we got, one thing just as a big picture thing, Tony.
Yeah.
We were sitting here this time last week talking about that we would not play the games and take a split.
Yes, sir.
And we said the same thing about the Vanderbilt Ole Miss trip.
You're right.
The problem's been that we almost made the quote mistake of winning the first game both times and then jumping out a big lead to the second game both times. So it's felt like a downer both times. But at the end of the day, that's 500 basketball on the last two road trips by a team with nothing but freshmen and sophomores pretty much.
And you'll get in. I mean, if you keep doing that the rest of the way, you'll be fine.
If they win the two, no doubt.
You keep doing that, you're in great shape because that means you're going to split that. That means you're going to split that South Carolina, Kentucky, those two games.
And you got five. You got eight left, and five of them are at home.
There you go. It's in your hands. But here's the thing: you win today, and as a couple callers have alluded to, Keith, you're really in. That's why today really hurts because you could feel it. You could feel the. It was like the clouds were just going to open up for the Vols, and the sun was finally going to shine on us.
Well, the thing is now, though, bottom line, honestly, and I mean, as I've said, I hadn't said anything to this team. Give me four more wins, and I'll go from there.
Yep.
If it's the next four, fine. If it's four of the next five, fine. If they don't get the fourth one till the Alabama game, fine. But give me four more, and then I'll work from there about what the rest of the season looks like.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Let's get our on the Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello and welcome.
Tony, John Speak, Keith, what's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Hey, John.
Hey, at the end of the game when that rebound, why did it take so long to foul? I mean, I guess we had missed two threes, and then it dropped right to that big guy with the face mask.
Yeah,
and it seemed like we let a couple seconds run off before we fouled him. What was going on?
Which is Keith's point. Great. They let him touch the ball. They let him rebound three times before somebody took him out.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't foul him. We didn't foul him when we were down one.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there was also at the end of the game when we had a chance to tie it and we missed two threes and then he got the rebound and it seemed like they just let some time run off. I didn't understand what was the sense in waiting there, and it seemed like Grant was upset. I knew that was his fifth, but he was yelling at the bench about something. I think that was Turner's worst game. Is there any doubt about that?
No, but here's the thing. If he gets any kind of pressure, he's going to struggle. He's a guard that can't handle the basketball.
Turner playing against West Virginia, Tony?
Oh, my God. He would have 11 turnovers at halftime if he played a team like that. Or if you threw him on the court against Louisville. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He's comfortable handling the basketball.
Woo.
You know, and there's that lineup with, I think, him and Bone on the floor together, and it seems like he handles the ball more, which I don't get.
No, I don't get that either. Bone's handling the ball for me if those two are on the court together.
Have we this year, and I'm trying to remember, have we ran away and hid from somebody? I mean, we've been up huge and always let teams come back.
Auburn
to
game.
Us, you know what I mean?
The Auburn game was a double digit game.
Mississippi State never really made much of a pushback once we got going here. And Kansas State, for the most part, we had them by the throat.
We wired to wire two teams in a row. So yeah, the answer to that question is yes, we did. Today's game, for whatever reason, we just lost our concentration on both ends of the floor. And for the most part, that hadn't happened to this team much this year.
You guys realize we went, I think it was like 10 in the game to about 5 in the game without scoring a field goal. There was a 5-minute stretch of play where we didn't score a field goal. It was like 10:32 to 5 something change. It was Bones lay-in was the next time we scored, and that was at the 5-minute mark.
Completely painful.
And I bet we didn't get five quality shots in that 5 minutes.
Let me give you guys an unbelievable number, okay, about today's basketball game, about what we witnessed from both teams. In our last 10 shots, we were 4 for 10. Keith, in their last 10 shots, what do you think they finished? I'll help you out.
But their field goals, 2?
3 for 10.
Yeah, I was about to say 2 or 3.
They won a game where they absolutely were out of gas just like we were.
Well, they missed 4 shots on the possession that put them back up 3.
I mean, that game right there is the damnedest thing I've ever seen. I'm sorry.
Do you guys question Barnes there maybe not calling a timeout when we have a chance to tie it, or was he just trying to, I guess maybe he's trying to catch them off guard and get a look?
I thought the looks they got were fine.
Yeah, for 3, correct. Yeah, it's just he took one with him. I don't want to nitpick it, I guess. I just, it seems like maybe, hey, try to make sure we get a good shot or shot we want, or, hey, this is what we're going to do if we get an easy 2, and then we'll go to this if we get a good look for 3. So, anyways, hey, Tony, I'll jump off, man. Hope your back's better.
Hey, see you, brother. Yeah, I got about 3 things in me right now. I'm getting the cold sweats. Let me bring Tony Jones in without further ado. TJ, buenas noches to you. A lot's happened since the last we talked. I'd like your thoughts. Tony Jones, for those of you who don't know, assistant head coach under Bruce Pearl back in those days, been in college basketball a good 3 decades or so, man originally from Detroit, a man doing a lot of good in our local community. I'll let him tell you about that here in a second, and even has a golf tournament coming up as well. But, Tony, we're glad to have you on another edition of the Smartway Garza Law Firm Tennessee Basketball Overtime. And I would like your first thoughts, reaction to what we saw today, and then we'll get some more phone calls in here.
Well, I'm just dumbfounded that, you put yourself in a position to win the basketball game, and you just almost do a 360 from how you got an 18. 18-